Whoever exalts himself will be humbled. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. How many of you remember Archbishop Leveda? I was amazed at 5:30. Most of them had never heard of him. I thought, oh, that's funny. I want to tell you about my first experience meeting Archbishop Leveda. I originally came up to Oregon as a Mount Angel Abbey affiliate. I thought I wanted to go back to religious life, and so I began there. And I very quickly realized that I felt called to be on this side of the cloister. And so I found myself unaffiliated. And from that point on, I was discerning which diocese to join. They told me I had to affiliate with a diocese by the end of the year in order to continue my education, which I wanted to do. So there were many dioceses that once I was accepted in the seminary, that they were fine. I could come and join them. But it came down to Los Angeles and Portland. LA is where I was from, and Portland is where my family is now. And so I decided to join Portland. And so I went through a lot of interviews with them, and it was very hard to get into Portland, which I kind of liked, that they were choosy. And so they sat through my evaluation that year before they made up their minds, and that was fine. And so we got around Easter time, and there was a priest and a nun that were running the vocation department then. And they came up to me and they said, well, we've decided to accept you. Of course, they had nothing that they could use against me, right? You know, so I was the perfect candidate. Anyway, but they said, don't tell Archbishop Leveda because he doesn't know yet. He let us make the final decision. So don't embarrass him by introducing yourself before we have talked to him. The only problem was I was serving Mass that evening with Archbishop Leveda. And he was very picky about his altar servers. I'll tell you, it was a scary thing to serve Mass there because he was very particular. He's in the right job as prefect of the Doctor of the Faith because he was very particular about the Mass. So, but I enjoyed serving Mass with him, but it put me in an odd situation because I'm sitting there, and here comes Archbishop Leveda, and I'd never met him, and he was a little bit scary when you got to know him. And so he comes up, and I'm thinking, what am I going to say to him? He comes over to me, and he says, you must be Gary, right? And I said, right. What do you say when you're under orders not to talk about what just happened? And he said, and you're our new seminarian, right? And I said, right. And then he said, and you're pleased to meet me, right? And I thought, where can I go and die? I was so embarrassed. He had a... if you pardon the expression, really a wicked sense of humor, you know. And most people didn't see that side of him, but it was really funny. He probably still remembers that. But so often we are humiliated, and that was definitely humiliating, but sometimes it's done maliciously, sometimes it's done unintentionally, sometimes we ourselves get in a situation that's embarrassing. But it's always for God. I just thought of this, you know, when we went to Lourdes, I said I wouldn't go in the baths. I'd been in there 16 years ago, and the water was like minus 20, any of you were there. I said, Lord, I'm not going in those baths unless there's not a soul in line, which was I was certain I wouldn't be have to deal with that one, but wouldn't you know it, there was nobody in line. So it's humiliating because you have to take all your clothes off, you know, and so they put a towel around you, but I had to give them a blessing in that condition. I thought, oh my God, you know, this is the funniest act of priesthood I've ever had to do, you know, humiliating. But in order to go in the water, you have to be humble, you see. There's no other way around it. And it's God, the key to understanding this gospel, I think, is that we are in an interview situation. Life is a hiring. We're here to choose God. Our faith gets us into heaven. There's no doubt about it. We cannot earn our way into heaven. Our faith is a free gift of God. But beyond that, as I've said many times, and Christ brings up constantly, we are in the process of choosing our place in heaven. Makes it clear that self-boosters, horn tooters, people that are that do nothing but they do everything for show, they're going to be humbled in the next world, and sometimes in this one. And those who are humble and don't call attention to what they do are going to be exalted in the next world. So there are going to be a stratification of order, and we're interviewing for a position that he's going to fill. And so it's real important to know what the hiring manager is like and what they are looking for in an interview situation. And this is why it's really critical to know what Jesus is like. You know, Jesus is the only human being that ever walked the earth that had no reason to be humble. He created everything. He offered his life for us. And yet, here's God, by definition, has everything, born in an animal feeding trough. That tells you all you need to know about God. What right do we have to brag before God? We have nothing to brag about, and yet we often find ourselves in positions of pride. How do I act? You know, you can tell you've got pride when you never give way. I always have to have my own way in any area where I'm in authority. Do I ever listen to others? Do I take their advice? These are ways we can tell if we've got humility. How do I use my power over others? The power of my mouth, the power, often use the example of driving. I have a little power there. How do I use that? Do I take advantage of people? Am I a booster, you know? I don't mean, sometimes we have to boost ourselves. It's part of how we get ahead in the world, but nobody likes that sort of thing in our personal lives. You know, with Christmas season coming up, we don't get as many of these now, but you know, it's the season for getting Christmas letters sometimes, you know, brag letters. Do you get less of those? I get less of those now than I used to. Anybody want to admit that they ever sent out a brag letter? You know the type? Oh, Susie just graduated with a PhD. She got all A's. We went to Spain this last couple weeks, and oh, we had a wonderful time. Wish you were there. We had these ugly countertops. We put granite in. I just love polishing those countertops. I haven't had an illness since I was 12. Praise the Lord. You get nauseated by these. We've probably all written one, but nobody wants to get one. I've got another friend whom I love dearly, and it's a very honest letter. You know, we were driving to Phoenix, and the car broke down halfway between here and Mesa, Arizona. It's like, this is a terrible thing, but you read it, and you think, yeah, you know, this is me. I've done this. You know, I was sick this period. She's real honest in these letters, and also the good things, and a real honest evaluation of what the year was like. Christ doesn't appreciate bragging, you know, and we often don't realize that we are taking a position of pride. And God, I guess the question is, when I am told the truth, how do I react to that? If somebody is a little too honest about something and we don't feel we deserve that, my first reaction might be hostility, and that's normal, I suppose, but can I accept a healthy criticism in humility? The real key is, can I accept unjust criticism without having to defend myself all the time? People respect that very deeply if you can pull it off. I don't do it very well myself, but this is how God wishes us to live. So he gives us many opportunities to practice this virtue of humility. One way that we are often called to be humble as Catholics is by taking advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation. There are many reasons why. We have many that go to reconciliation here. We have very good attendance here at this parish, and I'm very grateful for that. Oftentimes, with the penance services coming up, it's a great opportunity to clean the house out for Advent, the inner house. If I don't go to confession, I myself had a priest yell at me when I was young, and I didn't go back for a few years until I realized that it's not the priest, it's not the church's fault that happened. It was this priest who had a bad temper, you know. But oftentimes we don't we don't go back to confession because we're scared. We don't want to. We don't know our sins, or we have this pride that. And in order to receive those sacramental graces, on the last day of our lives, Lord, I say, "Oh, you were Catholic. I had this great gift to give you, and you didn't come in. Why was that?" Oftentimes, it's because we are unwilling to lower ourselves to God's level. God is waiting down there at the bottom of our lives, and we don't want to stoop over to come in. You know, He lowers Himself. Oftentimes, we find ourselves face to face with God when we've really blown it, we're really ill, or we've really been humiliated. There's Jesus on the cross, and suddenly we're connecting with Jesus. It's just amazing. He'll come in the places and times when we least expect it and never deserve it. And that's when He gives us the best graces. It's really amazing, but that's the way God is. And if I don't lower myself, I'm not going to get those graces. And then another area I just want to touch on real briefly is at St. Matthew in Hillsboro, we had one or two chasubles that were very ornate. One of them had a lot of tassels and phylacteries, you know, so to speak. And so whenever this reading was read, I invariably would come out in this very ornate chasuble. Do not wear tassels and phylacteries. And I come out, you know, with all these things on. And, you know, the priest wears this not to call attention to himself, but precisely to disappear underneath it. I don't feel worthy to be celebrating Mass. I never do. But it is Christ that's present. When I wear this, it is to glorify Christ, not to glorify me. The Mass is not about the priest. It's not about you either. It's about God. We come here, first of all, we do an act of humility when we come to Mass. We admit that we're sinners and we need Jesus to save us. This is the beginning of Mass. It's always kind of a bowing down before God. You are God and we are your servants. And then God teaches us through the Word of God. He feeds us in the Eucharist. We receive Him and we encounter Him in each other. And then we are given a commission. And each of us has a unique mission in life. And we get renewed to go out and do that. This is what the Mass is about, the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross and on the altar, and the sacrifice of ourselves for Him. So our Lord is very clear that we ourselves are being hired in a hiring position for the world to come, which will never end. And each action is very important. Christ will quite often permit us to be humbled or even humiliated, but He Himself also received a healthy dose of this. So how can we complain? All He asks is that when we are asked to follow that path of humility, that we accept it graciously and know that Jesus has walked that way before us.